Hello and welcome to Off the Bench. I'm Pras from Fantasy Football Scout and I'm joined by Az. Az, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Pras. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I had a decent game week, but I'll get into that. First, game week 14 started with FPL managers wondering whether to sell Bench or Captain Haaland at 11:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning when the team news was released. 5.3 million FPL managers who captained him were wondering who their vice-captain was, as the forward wasn't in the Man City squad. So it was the week where Tony and Bruno Fernandes picked up their fifth yellow card of the season, so they will miss the next game. Graham Potter returned to Brighton and lost. You must be chuffed with that. And it was definitely a week of ups and downs for FPL managers. I had a decent game week. I had 66 points. I had the very bold urge of selling Haaland, and I did it. And I got Jesus in, who got 9 points. So decent all around, but I need to get him back if he's fit. How was your game week 14?
Sold Haaland. Wow. Yeah. I saw you done that. And I thought that is for this week. That looks amazing. But assuming you're going to want him back. My game week was average 54 points. I'd already decided not to captain Haaland, before I'd seen the news that he was out of the game. So I had it on Salah. And then the Haaland news came and I thought, okay, well, everyone's now going to benefit from that because the vice captains are going to shift and those things. And then I saw Foden wasn't in the squad and I thought, oh. So I went into that game with no City players at all because I didn't have Cancelo either. Yeah, and it was a bit nervy. So I banked the transfer in the end, 54 points, red arrow, but I'm quite well set up to attack the next two game weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the next week, everyone's either fixing an issue or repairing the issue that they fixed last week. You know, like myself, I have to get Haaland if he's fit. Others sold Foden. Others have Mitrovic or Tony. So we'll talk about all these guys and take it from there. There's a lot to talk about game week 14. So maybe we do a recap of the performances, of the key performances that stood out.
Yep, and we've got to start with my boys, haven't we? As a Brighton fan, Brighton 4, Chelsea 1, incredible performance. Probably the best I've ever seen Brighton play. And significantly was the first loss for Potter as Chelsea manager. I mean, It was a great performance and you know, it was kind of building on the foundations that Potter had left with Brighton. But I think most importantly, we've got to look at it from an FPL perspective. I think Trossard continues to be our main threat. Another goal for him. Yeah. I know quite a few sold him a few weeks ago and went for Foden. That was a really, really popular move, right? Did you do that yourself?
Classic FPL. Of course it I is. Did. For a yep. hit as well.
And then he scores in back-to-back games. That tends to be how it goes. But you've got to think we've got Wolves and Villa next, two kind of Midlands games. Both teams struggling a bit kind of defensively. I think Trossard's going to be a popular buy this week, right?
It depends where people's issues are. I mean, you know, midfield isn't an area where a lot of people are sort of looking to move. If they have the luxury, I think Trossard is as good as pick as any because people are frustrated with Zaha, who's not doing anything in the easier fixtures. You've got Saka, Martinelli. Saka's a bit of a doubt for the next game. We'll see if he's fit. He hobbled off. We'll come to the Arsenal game in a second. So yes, if you have the luxury and you want to move him, you could go there because those two fixtures are really good. And I agree with you. He was second highest for shots in the box for the week after Salah. That says a lot when you're playing a Chelsea team. So yeah, Trossard looks a great pick. Brighton look a great team. Even defenders. I mean, I think defensively, even though Havertz ended up scoring, defensively, I think those two fixtures are good ones to target. So Brighton players are back on the menu.
One thing that worries me a little bit about Trossard is he really struggles with the bonus points. He's got 5 bonus points all season, 7 goals, 2 assists. You know, 2 goals he scored in the last 2 games, no bonus points in those. He got 3, obviously, in the hat-trick against Liverpool. And he got 2 in the game where he got a goal and assist against Leicester. But in the other games he scored this season, he doesn't tend to pick up those bonus. It's because he tries a lot of take-on and he often gets dispossessed and that kind of thing. Yeah. The system kind of punishes that sort of player. So he almost needs multiple returns, right, to get something.
Yeah, yeah. And then on Chelsea, I mean, what was that with Sterling and Pulisic as the wing-backs? I mean, I know he's tried it at Brighton, but, you know, I mean, you've got Chilwell on the bench. You could play Cucurella there. What did you make of that?
I make it as a kind of a standard Potter, you know, tinkering thing. I mean, he's been quoted as saying he doesn't really believe in formations. He picks players that he thinks can play and they all kind of, you know, move around. And players like Cucurella are versatile so that he can play on the wing. He can drop into centre back. Sterling can go up front, play on the left, drop deeper, all this kind of thing. And it works really well when all the players kind of buy into it and the system's working, you know, for them in that match. But when things start going wrong, I think that's when players might be looking and thinking, well, you know, it's confusing, right? I imagine, yeah, like, where am I supposed to be at this stage? And Pulisic at right wing back was the most surprising one. I know they're struggling in that area because they haven't got Reece James. Loftus-Cheek has been fitting in there a little bit, but I really just didn't think that worked at all for them. And I was really surprised not to still see Chilwell playing, because we didn't have Lamptey. Veltman was a doubt as well, and I thought they'd attack us down that side, and they didn't. So right. I'm thinking that Chilwell will probably come back in for the majority of games going forward.
Yeah, well, they've got Arsenal and Newcastle as the last two, so we'll talk about, you know, teams to target, players to target. I think we can pretty much say we're not touching Chelsea players. Kepa was popular, he hobbled off as well, so you just never know when a keeper loses their place, even through injury, that Mendy will want to sort of stake his claim back. So I think Chelsea is a little bit of a hold or sell if you have the luxury, but not a buy at the moment.
No, I think Mount would be the only kind of attacker that I'd potentially look at. But Arsenal at home, Newcastle away, we're going to talk about some really good fixtures for teams in a minute. And yeah, Chelsea don't feature. They're two tough games for them.
Okay, moving on to a very good performance by Arsenal against Forest. So finally, I mean, FPL managers were targeting Nottingham Forest as the team, and they ended up keeping two clean sheets, first against Brighton, two game weeks ago, and last week against Liverpool. But this was the week where, you know, the away game, Arsenal being really fantastic at home, and they've been that throughout the season. Their XG and their chances created at home have been absolutely superb, and they showed that. Martinelli goal from a Saka assist, but then Saka owners were really unlucky, right? I mean, he limped off, and then Nelson comes in and scores a 19-pointer. You didn't have Saka, but I really did feel for people who did go Saka instead of Foden.
Oh, I mean, you talk about classic FPL. I mean, obviously, as an England fan as well, we're all, yeah, you know, we're trying to wrap players like Saka in cotton wool. We do not want to see an injury to him going into the World Cup. And, you know, as one of the most popular buyers, you know, with the Foden news, as well, you know, people are going to be really, really upset with that, and rightly so, because I think you've got to think if he was on the pitch for that second half when Forest kind of capitulated a bit, they were decent enough in the first half, and then just conceded all the goals in the second. You've got to have thought Saka would have returned quite a big haul for owners in that. And I guess now the question is, it's a case of just waiting to see what Arteta says about his injury. He's kind of downplayed it a little bit, said that it's a knock. It sounds a bit more precautionary. But again, you've now got, you know, do you switch Saka to someone, you know, with really good fixtures? Do you go back to Foden, for example, if you've sold him with two home games for Man City? Or do you keep him and hope that Nelson's performance hasn't, you know, given him another reason to give him a rest?
Yeah. I mean, Nelson hadn't played a minute before this. So imagine, you know, there were two people who captained Nelson. Always you find these people, right? Two people had captained Nelson in FPL and they got
the
points.
Him and his mum, probably.
Him and his mum, yeah. And but look, I mean, as an Arsenal performance, defensively solid. I mean, Nottingham Forest barely had a shot on goal, that Lingard goal that almost went for a throw-in. That was all I remember. So Arsenal continue to be a team that we'll all want to triple up, maybe from, you know, game week 17 onwards when we have the unlimited transfers. You could go defense, you could go attack. They've got everyone. I mean, we did a stats table from them. Odegaard has fantastic stats. You could go there. You could go Martinelli, of course, who's very well owned. I myself went Jesus. And look, I was pretty pleased with the outcome because there's a risk with Jesus. He's on four yellow cards. So I could have sort of ended up going Haaland to Jesus and then him getting a yellow card. He got two assists in the end. He ended up playing 90 minutes. And I think he did that only because Arteta and the team is desperate for him to score a goal. He hasn't scored in the last few, but he's getting the chances. And that's what I care as an owner of a striker. Seven goal attempts, six of them in the box, two big chances, two assists. He could have had a third if Nelson sort of, his first goal was a direct goal instead of the keeper saving it and then Nelson scoring again. So look, I am happy to hold Jesus if he stays away from the fifth yellow in the next game. He's involved in absolutely everything. He had an XGI again of 1.2, 1.3. That's all you want from an 8 million striker.
I'm really surprised he hasn't hit another big, big haul, you know, sort of so far. I mean, he got the big haul against Leicester back in game week two, 19 points. And he's kind of ticked over, you know, he's had some sixes, some eights, but then quite a lot of blanks as well. And every week I watch him, I think he's so dangerous, the way he's playing. The trouble is we've got lots of forwards at the moment, right? You know, Kane's been doing well for people. Mitrovic has been doing well. Haaland, obviously, has been a lock. You know, players like Wilson are now coming into the fore. Tony's been doing well. So yeah, you almost need your striker to be getting you something kind of each week, and Jesus has just been okay, I think, for owners. But I want to see a bit more output from him. FPL-wise.
Agreed. And I think the other thing with Arsenal, as I mentioned, their stats are way better at home versus away. They're still doing well. I mean, they're top of the league. But the next two games that they have is Chelsea away and Wolves away. Both are away games. Chelsea they were defensively pretty solid before Brighton destroyed them. And then you have Wolves, which are okay. So I think if you don't have an Arsenal asset, this is now the time where you can sort of just hold, or you don't need to sort of plump on them. There's other teams to target for the last two. Two away games doesn't really sound to me like a buy, but we will have a lot of these players once we come out of the World Cup.
Absolutely. And like you mentioned, with Jesus with the four bookings, the worst thing to happen would be for him to get booked in the Chelsea game and then miss the Wolves match for that. So keep your eye on that. Also Saliba as well, also on four bookings. Tough London derby match. Could be a booking for him in that as well. So just watch out for these players, because they could end up banned for their good match against Wolves.
Okay, let's go to Newcastle then. Your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's another big win for Newcastle. I mean, everyone kind of was getting a bit excited about Villa. Again, you know, they won their last match. Ings scoring, you know, Bailey, the cheap mid that we all started with at the start of the season, delivering, and everyone's kind of thinking, oh, you know, they're back and they could give us some options. And they're just absolutely taken apart by Newcastle, who are absolutely flying at the moment under Howe. And again, I mean, crucially from an FPL perspective, there's just so many options for us in their side. I mean, Trippier, I think most people have got Trippier by now. Started at 5 million. He's probably going to end the season at 6.5, something like that. Assists, bonus, you know, free kicks, everything you could want for a defender. A lot of people have doubled up with Pope or maybe a Cher or a Botman. It's been a bit of a rough ride for double ups, but that's two clean sheets now, I think, you know, in the last couple of games. So that's looking good. And then it's, what do you do with that third spot, I guess? You know, you've got Wilson, huge haul for him, 19 points. Almiron, again, with a goal and assist. I mean, what do you make of Almiron? Because, you know, there's a lot of talk about him, and rightly so, but this is now becoming a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, he's scoring worldies, but his underlying stats are also good. So it's not one of those Lingard or Iheanacho situations of the previous seasons where it was just basically a purple patch. I mean, this guy's actually doing really well, delivering the numbers. Some things have gone well for him, which is, you know, Saint-Maximin hasn't been in the team, so he's nailed down that spot. When Wilson was unfit, Isak was playing up front, so he's continued to play. We have never seen Wilson and Isak fit at the same time, so we just never know. And so this uncertainty was the sweet spot for people who owned Almiron. You know, the non-buyers never went there because he could be rotated, but he never was. And then he kept delivering. The more you deliver, the more you nail down that spot. So it looks like, you know, he's really in it, and he's a big part of what they do. He creates chances. He's not afraid to shoot, and he ends up, you know, with these goals. But I would be cautious going forward. That's just the way I play. Unless you really feel that a double Newcastle attack is needed, I think because their assets are so cheap, you could easily look for a Wilson and a double defense, not even a Pope. I think you could just go for a Botman. Look at the value in a Botman, 4.4, 4.5. There's other keepers who can match Pope because he's, I think, 5.2, 5.3 million now. We're going to be talking about Newcastle a lot this season because, look, they started out as a team that could do well, but now it seems like they could be a team that could be pushing for Champions League place.
Four double-digit returns in his last six games, Almiron. He's got 2 points less than De Bruyne over the season, fourth highest scoring FPL player so far. If you told me that at the start of the season, I have to be honest, I wouldn't have believed that was possible for a player who started at 5 million. I mean, so would you go Wilson over Almiron then if you were picking one for the last two?
If I had the choice, again, you're trying to solve problems in your squad. So if you're looking for a Tony replacement, if you're looking for Mitrovic, has really bad fixtures as well. He plays Man City next. I mean, after that is fine, but you know, if you're looking for somebody to ship out, I think striker slot is where you need somebody, and I think Wilson will continue to deliver like he's been. His underlying stats are second after Haaland. I mean, he's been that good. And if you look at the last six games, he's the highest. So if you even take away penalties, he's still the highest in terms of his XGI involvement. So he's just a player. If he's fit, you get him. That's the strategy. And a lot of us didn't go there because, like you said, there were so many other good strikers that we were always happy with who we owned. We never thought there's a lateral move needed towards a Wilson. Those who had him enjoyed the points. But look, he's a player that definitely delivers when he's fit. So that would be my third.
Yeah, I mean, his points since he's come back into the side haven't been amazing. But he's one of these players, a bit like you mentioned Jesus, one of these players that you always sense something big is kind of coming for him. I mean, he got a goal against Fulham. He'd been out for 4 weeks before that. And then he got an assist in the next game. There's a run of blanks, so two blanks against Man United and Everton. But then a goal against Spurs, and then the huge haul against Villa. And it's one of these ones where looking at the stats, looking at the underlying numbers, the points doesn't always tell kind of the whole story. You see how Newcastle are playing, you see the fixtures, you see the stats, and hopefully it all adds up into a big haul like we see from that. But any player that gets 19 hauls is a massive, massive return. So yeah, congratulations if you got him, and I think it's going to push a lot of new owners towards him.
Yeah, his price is going to, I mean, I think he's already got a price rise this week. I think he might even get another, and he will be very popular, as I said, after game week 17.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, then we go to Spurs. That was a fantastic game, the Spurs-Bournemouth game. Obviously, Bournemouth got the two goals, which didn't come from Solanke, and then Spurs had their comeback and winning 3-2 in the end. So from an FPL point of view, Kane disappointed, Son disappointed again. I don't know what's happened to Son. I mean, he was, you know, golden boot winner. Everyone had to have him last season. How things changed, right? I mean, we were talking about Almiron, but on the opposite spectrum, Son was a, you know, people were selling Salah, you know, the purple patch Salah last season for Son. He was just the go-to guy. He's completely plummeted. Kane was ticking along nicely, you know, a pen here and there. He was getting an odd goal. No 10-pointers, but he was ticking along well. But this game, he only got the 1 point. Spurs are generally struggling. They're third on the table, you know, but if you're watching the games, they look to be struggling both from both ends of the pitch. I mean, the way Conte sets them up is we're going to sort of sit back, let the opponent have the ball, and we're going to counter. It's just not happening because people have figured that out. So they don't overcommit when they have the ball. And therefore, you know, it becomes a much more drier game to watch. And from an FPL point of view, not a lot of points at both ends of the pitch. So I have Doherty, and it's been a problem. Mm. And it was a problem when I had Perisic. Their wingbacks are just so annoying because there's always potential. They could get a clean sheet and a return. There's a 12-pointer there, but you can never predict when they start. So I think you've avoided the wingbacks quite well, right? You haven't gone to any of them?
Well, I started with Perisic game week one. Yeah. I managed to get he did get a return for me kind of quite early on.
Right, the Wolves match.
Yeah, and then I jumped off him because I thought this is every week looking at the lineups and wondering where he is. You know, was getting a bit too stressful. And then I went for Doherty like yourself.
Oh, you did. Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, but then I dropped him for Ben White last week. So I've had two clean sheets, an assist and a clean sheet from White, right. which has been pretty good. So I feel like I've played it kind of quite well with the wing backs, but I wouldn't want to invest in them at the moment. I think there's Sessegnon's been playing really well, and that's been a huge problem for Perisic. The, you know, Emerson has been kind of in and out of the side. His form was actually quite strong at the start, but it's dipped off again quite a lot. So I think Doherty probably is first choice again, but you've always got that worry about him. And then you've got Spence as well, kind of waiting in the wings, waiting for his opportunity to come in. And then you look at the defence. I mean, look at Romero. You always feel like he's going to get booked in pretty much every game that he plays. Dyer's a decent option, but you mentioned Spurs haven't really been keeping it tight and teams might have figured them out a little bit. So I think the defence is an avoid for me, I think.
Yeah. And Dyer missed out on this game. This is his first non-start this season. He was the one glue guy. But yeah, I think the defence is a no-go. I do agree with you. Unless there's an injury that crops up that sort of opens the door for one of the players. So, and then up top, Kane ended up getting his fourth booking. So he's now also in that zone where if he picks up another yellow card in the next game against Liverpool, he will miss game week 16. So Kane owners, if you were a Kane owner, what would you do?
Well, I am a Kane owner.
Okay.
I can't really fault anything that he's been doing for me. I've had him for quite a long time. I mean, this is only his third blank of the season. And let me just switch that around to Son, which is the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Son has only had three games in which he's got attacking returns this season, 10 blanks.
One of them was the jammy hat-trick, right?
I mean, the fact that Kane has been returning almost every week and Son hasn't been getting involved in the points at all is just absolutely baffling. I can't ever remember something like that happening, particularly when they've got such a good partnership. You know, Spurs are an elite team with an elite manager. They've got, you know, the creativity down the wings. I'm just so surprised with how that's kind of gone. I mean, Kane for me is an easy hold. I'm not looking to get rid of him. Liverpool at home. Liverpool was statistically one of the worst defences. We saw that again. And we need to give Leeds a lot of credit for the way they went about that game because they put Liverpool under a lot of pressure, got a great win. But Liverpool were just falling apart, making defensive mistakes. The midfield looks tired. Attacks not clicking. It's two home games for Kane. I fancy Kane against Liverpool. And then I fancy them against Leeds as well, who were really poor going into that Liverpool match. I didn't give them a chance, but they played absolutely brilliantly and has relieved a lot of pressure on March.
I agree. I think there's a definite hold with Kane, or even if people wanted to punt on Son. I know it's getting puntier by the week if you wanted to go for Son, but two home games, I think White Hart Lane, they do deliver there. And there is always goals. So hopefully Kane owners, Son owners, you can get some points there. And I think getting to Liverpool, just before we end the segment on Retalk, you know, of last game week, look, they've disappointed way beyond expectations. I mean, I'm a Trent owner. I cannot believe that this is the game week where everyone who owned a defender, whether that's Crystal Palace, whether that's Arsenal, whether that's Newcastle, everyone got clean sheet points apart from Trent, who played Leeds at home. So it was one of the things I've done this season where I backed this guy despite what I was seeing, and it was obviously a mistake, but I'm still going to hold on. Here's a stat for you. Liverpool have been the second worst defense from an XG conceded perspective over the last six game weeks. They've played Forest, Leeds. I mean, it's just baffling how the form has dropped.
Well, again, it's this magic number three. Again, three clean sheets for Liverpool so far this season. And you know, when you've got a player like Trent, your bread and butter has to be those clean sheets coming in, you know, sort of week on week. And then the attacking returns are almost a kind of bonus. And he tends to get a lot of them, right? But one goal, one assist for him, no clean sheets, dropped in price to 7.2. I mean, dropped in price. The 7.2. We all thought the 7.5 was way too cheap for him at the start, and you know, he's gone down to 7.2, and I wouldn't be buying him at the moment. And it'd be really interesting to see how many wildcards he appears on after the World Cup, because the fixtures are good for Liverpool, and Klopp is going to have to kind of sort it out.
Absolutely. Why don't we do this section then on what to do with Salah? So, you know, you don't have Salah now, am I right?
I do, but he will be leaving this week.
Oh, you're on a threemium. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the thinking? I mean, are you looking for a KDB switch for captaincy next week? Or is it just the thinking that, you know, that's money wasted and I want to go elsewhere?
It's really tricky with Salah, because it's not working. Something's not working. I watched him again against Leeds, and I don't think the chemistry is right between him and Nunes. They clearly haven't developed, you know, a kind of Son Kane understanding, or even a Salah Firmino Mane understanding. It's just not quite, the things they're trying together just aren't really coming off. And I'm seeing Salah snatch at chances, you know, make the wrong decision. And then in previous games, we've seen him playing quite wide and drifting, and whatever's happening there, it just isn't falling for him, and it isn't quite right. Spurs away is a really, really tricky game. You know, we know that Spurs can defend well, and you know, but the fact that Liverpool aren't attacking, I can't see them getting too many goals in that. But then in 16, it's Southampton at home.
Yeah,
it's one of the best fixtures around that you can have in that. But how many times have we said that this season? Bournemouth at home, a blank for Salah. Leeds at home, one goal for them. I think it's easier for me on the threemium to take him out. There's no way he's going to be a captain shout for me. If Haaland comes back, if De Bruyne comes in, I think even Kane with Leeds at home in 16 is still you know, debatably a better captain option than Salah, even though he's got Southampton. So for me, I think he's a sell, and it's just what you do with that. Do you go to another premium, or do you spread that money around your side?
Yeah, I hear you. I think one very interesting thing that'll happen this week is Haaland's fitness. And if he isn't fit, or if he's unlikely, or, you know, if Pep is vague, which you know he will be, then suddenly captaincy becomes a big issue this week, because obviously Arsenal play Chelsea, Liverpool play Spurs. So you've basically taken out all the captaincy options in the game. Then you're looking at Man City. A lot of people have Cancelo, Foden already. And then you have Haaland, who a lot of people benched, unlike myself. So the thinking is, do you go for... Some people sold Foden, for example, when they heard the rumors that he may not play. So they went for Saka. So they have a third City slot open. I think for them, a Salah to KDB captain move makes a lot of sense, because you can just have that captaincy option. They're home to Fulham. Doesn't get any better than that. And for other people, I think if you're already tripled up on Man City, I can't see the lateral move to going to a Sun or taking a hit. So I think, so in my position, holding Salah is fine as well. And I'm hoping that, you know, he ticks along, gets a penalty. Liverpool haven't got a single penalty this season. So, you know, maybe some points there. Kane's got a lot of penalties. Haaland's got penalties. So hope for some luck. But I do agree with you. Game week 17 onwards, despite the fixtures, people might just come to the conclusion that, look, 12 million, 11 million still isn't enough. Yeah. You can, if you wanted Liverpool coverage, you can go for anyone else, you know, maybe when Diaz is fit, or even Nunes.
Well, I think his saving grace is that a lot of the players that people are targeting are really, really cheap.
Yeah.
So players like Alma and players like Rashford that we haven't mentioned at 6-6, you know, and Trossard 7 million, Wilson is 7.5. These aren't the premium assets. We haven't got a huge amount of premium assets that people are interested in. Haaland has taken that captaincy kind of each week, and you know, it might change, okay, if he's injured for a little bit longer, and then you might see more people flocking to some of the other big guys. But Fernandez isn't really an option. Sterling hasn't hit the heights. Son hasn't been doing it. So these are the natural replacements when you've got some as expensive as Salah. So if you are going down to an Almirón and suddenly you're left with, what, 7 million in the bank.
And more FPL points.
Yeah, I mean, but I find that stressful, don't you? I know it shouldn't be the way we play the game, but when I'm looking at my bank and I'm seeing 6-7 million just resting there, it makes me feel like I've done something wrong, you know?
This is the thinking. This is why I sold Haaland. You know, when I was hearing that he may not play, I said, why am I holding on to this 0.3, 0.4 million that I've got tied up in him? A, he could get injured later on in the season where people have to sell him anyway. So where is that? What's the money tied up going to do for you? And then B, I was exactly thinking this, that if in my game week 17 or beyond, I'm going to go for one premium or one and a half premium, let's say a 10 million player, I don't need the money. So yeah, I feel very liberated having sold Haaland. Hopefully I can get him back and no other things come up. But I feel like I can sort of move these players out. Like Martinelli, I sold as well on my Game Week 9 wildcard. I don't have any value tied up in him as well. If I wanted to go for a Rashford, let's say, I can do that without worrying about, oh my God, I have 0.3, 0.4 value tied up in him.
I think you're the only person this season, perhaps, to say you feel liberated selling Haaland.
Well, let's see.
You picked the one week.
If he's out for the next week as well, then maybe it proves to be Maverick. But yeah, I did feel a little bit like I'm taking the plunge. But it just felt the right move because now I can get Haaland for Mitrovic instead of Jesus. Mm. So I've solved two problems. In 1 week, I had Mitrovic and Jesus, and now I can have Haaland and Jesus, who I wanted this week. That was the thinking behind the sale.
Typical price, one step ahead, one step ahead of everyone else. Lovely.
All right, so let's move now, looking forward. So that was a good discussion looking back. Looking forward, obviously, we've got two game weeks left. Everyone's thinking about how they can maximize points in these two game weeks. So we thought we'll do a little bit of discussion on who are the teams and players to target. And let me quickly talk about the fixtures. So there's a few teams with exceptional fixtures over the next two. That's Everton, who play Leicester at home and Bournemouth away. Man City, we talked about, play Fulham at home, Brentford at home. So two home games. Bournemouth have Leeds away and Everton at home. Then you have Brighton with Wolves away and Aston Villa at home. And then Man United, Aston Villa and Fulham away. So these are, for me, the teams that stood out. Maybe West Ham you can add as well, who've got two nice home games, Crystal Palace and Leicester at home. Who stands out for you? Who are you targeting over the next two?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the fixtures and you think there's definitely some potential with some of these players, because not only are there some teams with really good ones, but there are also teams in which there's not a lot of investment already. So you think about Everton, you think about Brighton, you think about Manchester United as well, you know, starting to pick up wins, you know, and these are the players where I'm thinking, okay, and West Ham as well, thinking, okay, if I can get in some of these players who are kind of 5% owned and maybe move away from some of my players who are 20, 25% owned, this is where you can make some quite big gains up the ranks. And it's not a huge deal, because if it massively doesn't work and doesn't and completely backfires in 2 weeks, we get to reset and wildcard anyway. Absolutely. So this is the time really to have a bit of fun, I think. And we use this phrase dead ending your team towards game week 16, which basically just means filling your team with punts that you don't have to then worry about and carry over after the World Cup ends. I mean, Everton, we'll start with Everton because I think they're an interesting one. I don't really know how I feel about Everton. I thought they would struggle a lot more than they have done this year under Lampard. Yeah. They haven't conceded more than two goals in any game so far this season. They're keeping clean sheets. The defence looks really solid with Tarkowski and Cody. Another clean sheet for them against Fulham. That's two in a row now. A good win against Palace in game week 13. So if you are looking for defenders, I think Leicester and Bournemouth, that's good. I mean, Pickford, for example, another massive haul for him. You know, if you're looking for a new goalkeeper, maybe, I think he's a good one. But I like Tarkowski and Cody. I think they've got goal threat as well with the set pieces coming in. And of course, Calvert-Lewin's back up top. So if you're really looking for a new striker punt and looking to replace Mitrovic with someone that no one's going to own, I mean, what is Calvert-Lewin's ownership? It's 0.7%. Yeah. You can't get more differential than that. Fitness-wise, he seems back. What do you think about him?
I like Calvert-Lewin. A lot of people are going to Wilson because he scored points this week, which is fine. That's how we play. But Calvert-Lewin, again, as I mentioned, the two fixtures are really, really good, Leicester and Bournemouth. So The only thing is he's coming back from injury. So there's one risk that, you know, he doesn't look good and he's taken off and he misses the last game. But he wants to be part of the England squad. This is why he's been sort of put back and he's playing the games. He will get minutes, I think. Concern is, again, that Everton have taken the approach, Lampard has taken the approach this season, is defense first. We're going to sort of, the way we'll survive this league is not scoring two goals or three goals, is to concede less than two goals, which is essentially what they're doing. Calvert-Lewin has had one shot in each of his last three games. So that's not great if you want to sort of own a striker when all other strikers are delivering. It's punty, but I can see people going there because there's both problems up front. And also people think that, look, if I want to sort of maximize the next 2 weeks, where am I getting the 15-pointers, 20-pointers? Maybe in attack, maybe in midfield. So maybe the goalkeeper transfer, the defensive transfer, isn't the best use of your free transfers over the next two.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. I mean, there's been, I think, two games in which they've scored two goals, and then one game they scored three, and then the rest is kind of one, you know, one goals that they score. They're a team that, exactly like you say, defence first, keep it tight and try and win games. That's why they've had so many draws this season. I believe they've had the most draws in the league. Yeah. And then, you look at Leicester and Bournemouth and you think, okay, on paper, I think those two teams are really good. But Leicester have improved a lot.
They have.
Defensively. And Bournemouth, you know, I know they got beaten 9-0, but, you know, since Parker left, they have been more solid. And, you know, 2-0 up against Spurs, they'll be absolutely devastated to have lost that game sort of in the last minute. So I like Calvert-Lewin. I think he could get a goal or two over the next two, but I don't think he's going to hit a huge haul in either of those two games.
I agree.
Something to think about.
All right. Speaking of huge hauls, Man City next.
yeah.
I mean, Fulham at home, Brentford at home. This is you need a triple up. Basically, that's my summary. If you're looking for that upside, if you don't have a Man City triple up, if you ended up selling a Foden or a Haaland, you need them back. If Haaland is unfit, you need to really think about captaincy, because I think captaincy will come from this Fulham game this week. It could be Cancelo, could be Foden, could be De Bruyne, could be Haaland if he's fit. So that's where my transfers will be focused on, because of course I sold Haaland. I will get him back. If Haaland's not fit, I'll get De Bruyne or Alvarez. I will have a triple up in game week 15, and I will look to have a triple up as well in 16 as a result. So I don't think a second defender is priority at this stage. I mean, they are the best defense in the league, but the fact of the matter is they're also the best attack in the league. So you want to get, again, as I said, the 15-20 pointer. So for me, it's a Foden, Haaland, De Bruyne, Cancelo. And if you wanted to be different, you could go for a Grealish, you could go for a Bernardo Silva, but those are really, you know, not as high ceiling picks. That's where I'm at. You don't have Cancelo. Is that something you're looking to do? Or you've just said, look, I'll just close my eyes and deal with it after the World Cup?
Oh, it's painful every week, I tell you, not owning Cancelo. He hasn't, you know, been hitting regular big points, but he has got the three double digits. I think I owned him for one.
Right.
One of those, the 18 points against Southampton really, really hurt, especially when you look around your mini leagues and everyone's kind of got him. Attacking wise, I mean, the underlying stats for Cancelo aren't that impressive. I mean, he's massively dropped off from where he was last season, but things can switch so quickly with Man City and then the quality he's got. So, you know, every week I expect him to hit big points holes, and I'm kind of hiding behind the sofa. So he's a concern. I mean, my kind of decision this week with two free transfers is to whether do exactly what you said and really target the three attackers. Go for De Bruyne, Foden and Haaland, who I still think are the three best ones to own. Or, you know, kind of just say, okay, I'm going to get Cancelo and just get those clean sheets and hope for some attacking returns and protect myself a little bit from his 56% ownership. But, you know, I talk about dead-ending my team, and I think while Cancelo is the better option longer term, I think actually having that triple City attack for these two really nice home games is something a bit different and what a lot of people won't have, because the majority of people have, you know, over half the game sort of owns Cancelo. So I think I'll probably go down the triple attack route. There isn't really anyone else that I'd be looking at. I mean, you mentioned Grealish. You know, you look at someone like Mahrez, you look at Bernardo Silva, Gundogan. I would worry too much that any of these players could be rested at any opportunity. But yeah. I was not expecting Foden to be rested at all.
Twice in a row.
I know.
Yeah.
I was not absolutely not expecting that. I mean, Pep had mentioned that he was tired, you know, a few weeks ago, but you kind of, when he says something like that, you kind of think, oh, it's Pep, it's okay. He'll be all right and come out. So, you know, if he starts in the Champions League, you know, in their kind of dead rubber match, because they've already won the group.
Yeah, they've qualified.
There will be some concern, I think, about whether he starts at the weekend again, but surely he's not going to be benched for three consecutive Premier League starts. Surely.
He was the guy. Pep had made it easier for us this year, right? I mean, Pep, Foden was starting De Bruyne, Haaland, Cancelo. There were four picks that were starting every week. Obviously, Nate's life is never that easy. But yeah, as you mentioned, City have a dead rubber. They've qualified as first in the Champions League, and then they have the Carabao Cup in the midweek after, between 15 and 16. So you would think that players like Mahrez or Gundogan, they will get these midweek games, and then Grealish and Foden's will get the other games. But it's never that simple. So we will see how City goes.
I mean, it is incredible. I mean, you know, I had him kind of quite early on. I've always loved Foden. He's a very frustrating player to own in FPL historically. He's been a lot more consistent this season. But I had him when he was about 8% owned. And I've watched his kind of ownership steadily rise kind of each week. And then it was game week 13 when quite a lot of people bought him in because they did the Trossard to Foden move. His ownership has shot up to 25, 26% or something like that. He'd started every match until game week 13. Every game he'd started. Okay, he'd been bought off early in a few of them, but every match he'd started. And then he misses the next two. I mean, that is...
classic FPL.
What can you say about that? It's classic FPL. Unbelievable.
All right, moving on then. Bournemouth. Anyone other than Solanke? Would you buy Solanke now, Az?
No, because I think that this has been my problem with Solanke, I think, a lot of the time. And, you know, I've been on pods and kind of said that people should be avoiding him. And then I've had to watch him get 12 points against Fulham, 12 points against Forest, all this kind of stuff. I'm coming round to him a little bit. I don't think he's a bad pick whatsoever. I think, you know, he's kind of the main attacker for Bournemouth. They've got Moore there as well. He does actually play a little bit further forward, but you know, he got the goals against Spurs, but hasn't really been delivering kind of off the back of that. So I think Solanke is the one to get. I just think there's better options up front, right?
Yeah.
I just think, you know, if this has been my problem with it, I think the striker spots have always been an area in FPL that I've wanted to have the best ones possible, and I just don't see Bournemouth as being a team that can score regular multiple goals, unlike Newcastle.
Yeah, it's the same DCL argument. You know, you could get a pen and a you know, a nine pointer, but that's it. That's about it. So you'd rather go for a Wilson or even a Jesus if you can take the risk for the yellow card, who could get a hat trick, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Brighton. We talked about Brighton at length. I think Trossard is the standout pick if you wanted to go for them. Welbeck is an interesting option as well because he looks pretty nailed, but he looks to be the one who does the pressing, who falls back and then kind of feeds Trossard in. Estupinan looked really good as well. I mean, he created so many chances in that game. And, you know, if anybody wanted to go for a defender, this is not the time for a Dunker Webster. I mean, Estupinan had such a high ceiling. But tell me about Brighton. I mean, anyone else that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, Welbeck, I think, you know, he still hasn't scored all season. He missed the game against Chelsea. I was surprised not to see him in the lineup in that game, but you know, we played really, really well without him. I think for me, again, it's that same argument. I just don't see him as being a player who's going to regularly get you enough returns to justify it. And he's not that cheap. I mean, 6.5, maybe if he was 6 or 5.5 and there was premiums to get, you know, he could do that. But I'd rather have Solanke, I think, which, you know, for a bit cheaper. I really like Estupinian. I think he was great in that game. He had a shot, sort of Thiago Silva cleared it off the line. He was creating chances. He was looking absolutely excellent. And we always thought he was this kind of attacking defender. We were a bit worried about his kind of defensive positioning and awareness, but he's improving quite a lot. And with the two games, I think he could be a really strong option. Someone to monitor though is Matoma.
Okay,
I've seen him come off the bench of Brighton quite a few times now. He's a really, really tricky winger. He played really well. His link up with Trossard was really nice in that match. Again, he's probably not someone that you'd want long term, but I do wonder if you're looking for someone cheap in the midfield, so maybe a punt on him could be someone a bit exciting. That
what's his price?
His price is 4.9 and he is 0.0% owned.
Excellent. That's what we want as the last two game weeks punt. All right, you heard it here first on Mitoma. Then on Man United, what did you make of Man United's excellent performance and march towards the Champions League spots?
Yeah, I mean, very good. I mean, you know, West Ham were kind of average in that match. I thought they had a couple of decent chances. They had some spells of putting Man U under pressure. But, you know, I think it's rather than putting down West Ham, I want to credit Man United because I thought they played really well. The defence looks solid, even with Varane out. I think Dalot has gone up a level. Yeah. Casemiro's come in and done exactly what everyone thought he would do and just strengthened that midfield so much. Creativity from Eriksen and Fernandes is looking good. Yeah, there's a lot to be excited about, I think, as a United fan. And, you know, Rashford, again, he's someone who I hadn't really considered at the start of the season. I think there was a bit of a spell when everyone was thinking he was going to be great, and then people went off him a bit after the two poor results in the first two games. But now it's starting to look like he could be someone who we look to, especially if Martial stays out and he's playing up front. He's a great header.
Yeah, he is.
As well. You know, this is like the Rashford of old, right? We haven't seen that kind of confidence from him in quite a while. So Ten Hag has clearly sort of put his arm around him and is trying to get the best out of him. So I think at 6'6 or whatever he is, I think he's a really good pick for the next two.
Absolutely. He'll get the odd games up top. All the big chances came to him because he's shooting on sight. He's good at with heading the ball. And look, I mean, who would have thought when you replace Fred and McTominay with Casemiro and Eriksen that the team plays better?
Well said.
So yeah, I mean, I'm as a Man United fan quite bullish on what I'm seeing defensively. Although we did flatter to deceive, West Ham could have scored that last minute Bowen chance that was going on target, and Maguire cleared it off or inadvertently cleared it off. I think that was a big one. And then De Gea was amazing as well. So I think as a team, they're a good team to target. Dalot on four yellows, but a player that a lot of us will have if you wanted to target Man United defense, because he's a bonus monster. He creates so many chances. He's good with his passing. So just accumulates BPS if they keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. The only problem with Man U, just like we mentioned with some of the other teams, is they don't tend to score more than two goals. Again, they're another team that I think Ten Hag is focusing on a kind of build from the back, defensive, you know, solidarity, and then look to go front. So again, two away games. I do wonder if they're going to score bucket loads of goals in those two matches.
All right, moving on to West Ham. I think West Ham are an easy one. They've got very good two fixtures. Bowen is one, obviously, that's one to target. There's a little bit of uncertainty whether he's still on penalties or not, which is something not to worry about, but it's there. So I wouldn't say he's 100% nailed on penalties. But look, if you have Bowen, he's definitely one to keep. Scamacca is the other one that people are looking at. But what I fear is, yesterday he was taken off on the 50th odd minute and Antonio looked really, really good. So, you know, monitor his minutes midweek, see if he's one who starts. And then sort of Scamacca, you could do well with going for a Scamacca if he scores a brace in one of these games. Very low owned as well. And then West Ham defenders, you know, Zuma, Cresswell, all decent options. But as I said, I don't think defenders are where you go right now.
No, I think Scamacca was a slightly annoying one, because I think you want to see him going into these two home games with really good form and having that threat of Antonio just completely kind of eliminated. But I think, you know, the fact that he did come off at 70 minutes and Antonio comes on and looks quite good, I think that creates some kind of uncertainty around who's gonna start these two. Again, I think you keep your eye on, like you say, you keep your eye on the Europa League conference and see who starts in that match. I think if Scamacca starts in that, I can see Antonio starting kind of at the weekend. Yeah. It kind of puts me off a bit, but I think, again, there is real potential for West Ham. But, you know, another team, I think a lot of teams this year are focusing on defence, and West Ham, I think, have scored the fewest goals away from home or something this season.
Yeah.
Really struggling, really, to create a lot of chances in attack, and that does put me off Scamacca a little bit.
Excellent. Palace, last team to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, the big question is Zaha, right? You look at the fixtures he's had. I mean, since Chelsea in game week 9, Leeds, Leicester, Wolves, Everton, Southampton. I mean, I said he was a must-have over this run. It's one of the best fixture runs I think I've ever seen, you know, for a team, given that Leicester were struggling as well, kind of defensively around that point. And he's got one goal and one assist in that period. It's been really, really poor from him. And I don't know. I look at West Ham away and Forest away, and I think, okay, on paper they look all right, but we've seen that Forest can frustrate teams. And I think in some ways Palace are quite easy to play against at the moment, because teams have learned that you can stifle that threat coming down their left of Zaha, and they'll struggle to create chances kind of elsewhere. So I'm probably going to sell him this week, if I'm being honest, and I'm going to focus on one of the midfielders that we mentioned earlier, probably go for Trossard.
And I can't blame you. I mean, I have a triple up from Crystal Palace, because I saw the fixtures and I went for it. So Guehi has been great. Guaita has been great. It's just the Zaha thing. And when we were comparing the stats of Zaha for the first 5 weeks versus the good fixtures, they've actually fallen off a cliff because the weaker teams are targeting him. So look, I don't hate the sale, but I also think if there's other fires, the guy plays Nottingham Forest as one of the games in the last two. Hold him if you have other problems as well.
And I think, you know, one thing we were expecting more from Palace is penalties. Because given they've got Eze there and Elise and all these kind of, you know, tricky players, I thought he'd at least have had a couple of penalties over this run, but hasn't had any. So again, similar to Salah, you're hoping that one does drop and he can smash it in.
Excellent. That was our review of the teams to target. Do you want to finish it off, Faz?
Yeah, I mean, just really quickly, just because I think it's going to be a problem for quite a few people. We've mentioned them quite a few times at different forwards, but Tony's banned, which means he'll definitely miss the next game. He's very popular. Mitrovic, 4 bookings and sort of 2 tough games coming up. We've talked about some of the replacements. Wilson, Solanke, Welbeck, Skamaka, Jesus, Edwards. He's had a bit of a knock, but playing for Palace. Potentially Martial. If he's back, if you were going to pick one of those,
it has to be Wilson. Nailed. Yeah. Looks on form, and you know, good fixtures over the next two, apart from Chelsea home, where I fancy them to score anyway.
Yep, I completely agree. Look at that, us both picking the top scoring player from last week, aren't we?
Geniuses.
look at the genius. Yep. Excellent. Yeah, so it's the final match of the Champions League this week, so obviously hold your transfers, you know, make sure your players are fit coming out of those games. Only 2 weeks left to make moves, and this is the time to really kind of push ahead. On Thursday's FPL pod, you'll have Kelly, Jules, Sam and their special guest. They'll be looking at Game Week 15, thinking about the best ways for FPL managers to make the most of these final two game weeks ahead of the World Cup. Maybe they can build on some of the stuff that we've been saying, Praz, to help people out. This has been awesome. It's been really great talking to you, Praz.
Likewise.
And we will see you again very soon.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.